That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Morning, millennials. Welcome back to the Morning Toast. Happy Friday. It's Friday. Gotta get down on Friday.
And happy last toast of the year.
Yes, very
wow,
sad.
Wow, you guys, we made it through 2020. This is the last toast of 2020, and it's definitely bittersweet.
It is, but I'm looking forward to having some time off, you know, getting to sleep in and spend time with the love of my life, Theo.
Dr. Theodore Fichemin.
The doctor is in.
Well, he's out today.
Doctor, can you see me now?
He's out today.
He's out,
which
yeah.
Which really, really hurts. And it's different considering it's last show of the year and he didn't want to grace us with his presence.
Well, I know that maybe for those who don't live in New York, you saw the Instagram stories of like the snow in New York and everyone's playing a different version of, you know, it's beginning to look a lot, you know, all that shit. But what you don't see is the day after where the duty snow fills the street after all the trucks drive through it. It's like the color duty brown. You can't get anywhere. There's nowhere. There's no curb that's like free. It is so, I fucking hate when it snows in New York. I like it in the moment, and then realistically, logistically, when you have to leave your house and there's duty snow everywhere, it's so what's the word I'm looking for here? It's like not livable, and it's certainly not livable when you have a dog.
I understand. I mean, it's last show of the year, but I understand. Plus the salt on the ground, like you don't want to get it between their toes.
Exactly. And we're experiencing that right now. So unfortunately, Theo couldn't be here today. But that doesn't mean it's not going to be the most amazing show-stopping, incredible show you've ever seen in your entire motherfucking life.
This one goes out to Theo. I know somewhere he's watching.
This one's for you.
This one's for you, Theo. Thank you for making the show like even better than it's already been all year. You know, whether he was sleeping in the background on a Zoom episode, yeah, or he was sleeping right here with his head off, or he was being crushed when we tried to get up. Theo, you made this toast 2020 what it was, and we appreciate you and we love you.
No, if I had to really attribute like the majority of the success, I mean, this has been a crazy year, you know, filled with high highs and so many lows that like I literally could
just
never leave my house again. But those highs were really made that much higher by the presence of this angel here on earth, and that's Theo. And even some of the low points where it was like, you know, literally never wanted to leave my bed, Theo was there, so I really never wanted to leave my
bed.
Right.
He makes the lows higher.
Yeah.
So anyways, Theo, we love you. We see you. And to everyone else watching, thank you so much for going on this journey with us this year.
We know it has not been easy.
Yeah, but it's been another year of fabulous Toast episodes, especially in Q4. Like Q4 Toast is 2020 has been some of the best, freshest toast I've ever tasted.
I couldn't agree. We've been in two different studios this year.
Mm-hmm.
Well, three if you count like our Zoom situation. So three
True.
Different studios. And I'm so glad. I feel like we're landing right on our feet. And really where this was a growth year for the toast. You know, a lot of growing pains.
Yes.
We had to deal with a lot of drama, you know. Maybe we should just rattle through all the drama this year.
Should we? Because I don't want to start with that.
No, me neither.
Because I really, sometimes like I forget and then you, like I'll remember some
no,
of the things
how,
that.
No, how can you forget? People are constantly reminding us.
Just because I'm pushing it into like the back of my brain and then yeah, I'll remember and I'm like, oh yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there was so many. And you know, I feel two ways about like being the canceled queens that we are. And I don't know what just, you know, I had a pep in my step this morning where I just like wanted to talk about it all, you know. I had two feelings. One is like, you know, I did that shit and I deserve. Like, I think probably the lowest point for me this year was my One Tree Hill scandal. And I feel like I still, like, every time I think about it, just want to like jump out a window. Like, I feel awful about it. And like, I can't apologize enough. But then I think about, you know, us having dinner.
Right.
And then it's like,
Outdoor Dinner Gate 2020.
Outdoor Dinner Gate 2020, where we were accused of being coronavirus deniers, and we were so obscenely canceled within our community. And that was just like such a crazy, unnecessary thing that everyone did. But we survived.
We survived. And just want to remind you guys, we didn't get COVID then, we didn't give it, and we still haven't gotten it.
What's so crazy?
So I just feel like that's pertinent to the situation.
What's so crazy, and I've been thinking about this a lot, is that I haven't had coronavirus.
I know, me neither.
And now that the vaccine is here, like, I can't get it now. Like, in the next 3 months, like, I cannot get it. Like, no. I made it this far.
I know.
I refuse.
I know. Well, we just can keep doing what we're doing and taking the exact precautions that we're taking, because I think that we're doing something right.
I think we are, too, because we haven't gotten it.
And being in the epicenter for 9 months and haven't gotten it and going to work every day and haven't gotten it.
Right. It's just so crazy that people accuse us of, like, now that we can look at this year at a glance.
Yeah, at a glance.
How much, like, we were given so much shit online, like, really accused of being coronavirus deniers, coronavirus spreaders.
Super spreaders.
When we didn't ever have it, and we've been so careful, and we literally have lived in New York. We never left New York.
Yeah.
Crazy. This has just been such a wild year. And you know what? I don't even fault people for, like, getting mad at us for crazy things, because you're probably going through a lot, too.
Right.
I can't be mad at you. You know what? How about a clean slate? I forgive you if you forgive me, okay? Clean slate.
I love that. And that has been sort of just, like, in the background of the whole year. Like, you think about the people who are going so hard against us, and it's like, wow, you have so much
time. Not even us, just, like, other people. I've seen the way, like,
just
society.
Like, keyboard warriors going harder than ever before, and it's like, on the one hand, calm down. On the other hand, you clearly have so much time. Like, obviously it hasn't been a great year for
you
either.
The coronavirus has affected you too, mentally, emotionally, clearly.
Right. So I think we should just all forgive each other.
Clean slate. I'm so willing to clean slate, because I have my own fair share of things that, like, I need should be sorry for, and I am, and I'm not a perfect person, and I've never claimed to be, and I always, and this is probably the thing that annoys me most, I'm really just going in, the thing that annoys me most about, like, when people, like, talk shit about us, there's, like, all these things being said about us, the thing that probably, the only thing that really bothers me is when people say we don't apologize, which is so not true. Like, I feel like anytime I really feel like I'm wrong, I will always apologize. But then it's like, I'm not just going to apologize because you're mad because I had dinner with my family. Like, I don't feel like I owe you an apology.
Right. If you don't think you did something wrong and you're not sorry, you shouldn't apologize.
I completely agree with that. So that's always what gets me. But I'm never above apologizing when I know I've done wrong. Like, One Tree Hill Gate was, like, probably the worst thing I've ever done. Like, I literally, my body convulses if I see, sometimes I end up on One Tree Hill TikTok, like of people who are obsessed with the show. And it's so triggering to me to, like, remember, like the horrible thing that I posted on Instagram when I thought I was, like, just being funny. And, like, it was not funny. Like, that literally, the shame is, when I scroll TikTok and I see someone from One Tree Hill, you know the feeling.
I know the feeling.
When I see someone from One Tree Hill's face, like, this chill comes over my body, and it's debilitating. Like, and so that's what I'm saying. Like, I know that I've done wrong, but I feel as though I've also been wrong. So, like, maybe just clean slate for everyone into 2021. Like, past discretions.
We're forgiven.
We're wiped clean.
And we forgive.
We forgive.
We forgive.
For the most part.
Okay, I think that's, like, a great place to go into 2021 and just a great place to start the show. How was your day yesterday? It was so, there was so much snow on the ground yesterday, but I also feel like yesterday was the day that I spent the most time, like, out walking in the street.
Weirdly enough,
I had so many errands to do
that
I was just, like, in the snowbanks all day. But because I had my moon boots on, I was, like, happy about it.
I was in the snowbanks as well with my snow boots, and so it wasn't terrible, but it was really inconvenient. And I just guess, like, I haven't been out and about in a while. So many of my local businesses just completely shut down, like, while I was hunkering down in my apartment for the last 2 weeks, just trying to be really careful to not be exposed. And I'm so sad. Like, it's just, walking around was so upsetting. Like, of course, the Zara is still there, but an amazing down coat, $89.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a good haul I did.
Nice.
But all my local businesses were gone.
I did a little shopping too yesterday. It was very overwhelming. There was, like, nobody in the stores, but there was so much merchandise. But I figured out how to find a few things for myself.
I'm sure you did.
No, but it really,
I'm,
like,
never worried
I
about
almost
you.
Walked out like, this is too much, but I actually really needed some stuff. So, last show of the year.
I don't want to start because then it's over.
Because then it's, I totally agree. And, like,
what
you
were
know
some
what?
Of your favorite moments?
We don't need to rush into the stories today.
No, because, like, they're so long. And we only have the Southern Charm recap. So,
yeah. So,
let's talk
no
about
rush.
This year at a glance. That's my favorite phrase. And then that's also why I realized why the planner company is called At a Glance. So at a glance,
RIP, rip to my planner this year.
Oh, same.
I've already filed it away with my other planners.
Oh, I gotta get a 2021 one.
Yeah, me too. But, like, I keep all my old planners, like, in a drawer, and I put the 2021 in there in, like,
February.
October.
Yeah. So at a glance, what would you think were some of the highs of this year?
Wow. I mean, we can't underscore all of the highs that we participated in before COVID hit.
You know? Beacon Theater.
The Beacon Theater, Lauren and Cameron from Love is Blind on the toes.
Yes, that was a real high.
You know?
Yeah.
We went to LA. We found a little way to go to LA in there.
Right before February. That was the end of February.
Yeah. I went to Cabo in January. So, I was having a nice time.
You know, I went to Mexico in January. I performed at the Beacon Theater. I released my comedy special. I announced my book. All in all, this was not a bad year to be a girl with no job. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. Then, even in COVID, we had some highs. We had Dr. Burks on the show.
That was a huge honor.
We had Francesca Faraggio when...
Faraggio? I call her Farago.
Yeah, I don't know. I just... I Maj Dijon'd it.
Okay, that's fine.
When Too Hot to Handle was like popping off and we got all the tea.
I mean, that was not this year. Like, you just cannot convince me that it was this year.
No, I know. And then we had Zoom Toast, everyone.
Those were dark days.
Remember all my different cups?
No.
Every day I had a new cup. Like, that was like how I would treat myself every morning. Like, I'm going to use one of my fancy cups.
I know, like, you really, really hated Zoom Toast. Like, I didn't hate it that much.
You hated it more than me.
No.
You hated it more than
me. There's no way, because I don't really hate... Even though the episodes were, like, treacherous to do, I never hated not having to get up and get dressed and put on makeup and leave the house.
Yeah, but I still would do makeup. Like, it was less and less right, over I wouldn't. Time. No, my only thing about Zoom Toast is, like, even if we're, like, as best as can be, like, you just can't replace this, you know?
Of course. The magic, how you say that, je ne sais quoi?
It's the je ne sais quoi 100%. Of in studio.
100%.
100%. But then we Zoom Toast, and then we moved into our new studio. So while we were Zoom Toasting, we were dealing with all the drama from our old
studio.
And
you know what? Let's talk about it. Today's episode is going to be titled, Let's Talk About It. People wanted to know why we, like, settled. We moved into that studio in January, and we were here by June. So what happened between January and June, you ask? You girls were evicted from our space for violating New York City rental laws. Because it was
using a residential property for commercial purposes.
Yeah, even though we were
fair.
It was fair, but we were very clear when we showed up to tour the place.
I know,
we said, hi, we're going to be using this residential property for commercial use. And they said, okay, and the board approved us, and nobody cared.
No, but I think that, like, the landlord didn't care, but then, like, the building, like, saw the show, and they were like, no.
They saw the disgrace queens. They heard that we had dinner outside with our family during coronavirus, and they kicked us out.
Yeah, so we had to move, and we were just also done with the drama. Like, we didn't want to be in a place where we were, like, causing trouble. Like,
and we weren't
we're
wanted.
We're always causing trouble. We're not looking for trouble.
No, and by the way, another huge misconception about us, I think that people think we, like, live for these, like, scandals because we have so many, and that, like, it feeds our business. Like, you don't understand. I loathe them. They just come to me.
Yeah, they are just always showing up at our door.
So, yes, we were evicted.
And so during that time, we found this new studio, which we love, and everyone here has been, like, so warm and kind to us.
Because it's an office building. Like, this is a place of business.
It's a place of business.
So they respect our business.
So here we do our business, and the Truckers for Tayshia come out, and, like, there's just so much going on. I feel like it adds to the show.
100%.
And so we've been here since July, and I think it's been going really well, and I feel like finally the studio is, like, this is
done.
The studio. This is what it looks like. The couches are getting lower and lower.
Yes. By the way, the more I watch our show, the more we look like Elf.
Yeah.
Like Will Ferrell being huge in, like, a tiny land made for short people.
100%. And also at this point, like, we really can't have guests on the show because it shows, like, how our set
is so
miniature. And so I think eventually once these couches, like, sink all the way to the ground and we're sitting
we'll
on the floor,
ones.
We'll get new ones. But I just love the vibe of how it looks. Like, it's so pleny. And I just feel like the aesthetic is very calming.
I agree. And it's very on brand for us. It's our old studio, but really revamped with, like, an interior designer.
Yeah, like, you know? Homey, cozy vibes.
Yeah. So that was the tea, eviction. Mm-hmm. Anything else happened this year we need to address?
We had a month where we were doing weekly episodes, which was just so amazing.
Yeah, and we were
still not planning on moving to weekly, but just want to let you guys know we loved it.
But keep canceling us. Maybe we'll get there. also, when we were doing weekly episodes, we were talking about how, like, this is the traditional podcasting schedule. Everyone does one episode a week, and it's like, what do they do for the rest of the week?
I know. But you know what? That week episode really sneaks up on you.
Big time.
Yeah.
We're like, we're going to have so much free time. Next thing you know, it's like Tuesday at midnight, and we're like, oh, we got to get
an episode. Got to watch 7 hours of television.
So it's really been a great year, of course. We joke and we laugh, but it's been a wonderful year, and we really want to thank all the people who are still here, all five of you. Yeah.
No, seriously, thank you guys so much. We absolutely love, we always say this, we love doing the show, and we love that you love it, and I hope that we can just keep loving each other forever.
Yeah, and what's funny is, like, this really, this year has just been, like, kind of the restructuring of the shows. Like, our business is different in many ways. Like, we no longer go live. We're pre-recorded, which I think for the time that we're living in and people just really being so hypersensitive to content they see online, and I just think that's for the best.
Yeah.
We really still don't really edit our episodes, but I think it's nice to just have that, you know,
option.
We no longer have our Facebook groups, which honestly has been such a weight off my shoulders. Like, I think that it was a matter of time, whether we ended it or like Facebook ended it, like something really horrible was going to come out of, you know, that group of just like highly, you know, emotional,
charged up
people, young men and women. And I think that it's much better now. And I think that although things have changed so much this year, the toast is bigger and better than ever, honestly.
Bigger and better than ever. And you know who has had a great year? Not a person, a thing. I don't think you're seeing where I'm going.
Okay, go.
The Patreon.
Yes, of course.
The Patreon content has just been on point this year. We tried to make as many vlogs as possible, and there's just so much like good stuff in there because really content was king this year.
Yeah, and I think that Patreon more than ever, when it felt for so many people that there were like very few safe spaces on the internet, the Patreon Facebook group and the Patreon like website has been that for the Toast community. It's a very safe, warm, welcoming place.
Yeah. So head over to patreon.com/themorningtoast because it's the best place to be.
And it's a great way to support your favorite gals. Patreon.com/morningtoast.
Okay. I feel like now, I've reviewed the year and I'm ready to put this year in a box, in a drawer, and not open it again.
In a box beneath my bed is all the scandals that I never read a few summers back.
Literally.
Literally.
No,
we're putting
like,
this year to bed.
After this, 2020, see ya.
No, honestly, like, starting January 1st, do not talk to me about anything that happened in 2020.
I don't know her.
I will not address it. Like, yes, okay, you have a question for me about all the crazy things that happened to me in 2020. Ask me now because you only have 2 more weeks.
Yeah, and like, this is the last episode, so... And then we're on vacation. Yeah. I'm so excited for vacation.
Me too.
Okay, now I think without further ado, it is time for the last time in 2020 for the Fast Five Stories that you need to know before you wake up and take a bite out of your morning toast.
And I think it's very appropriate that today's episode... No!
Are you okay?
I'm not feeling well. I think I need mouth to mouth.
Oh, no. That's where I draw the line. No.
Sorry, the RDH got to me. I just got a little lightheaded. But that's RDH. It hits you and then you're totally fine. Today's episode is brought to you by Brush, the most amazing electric toothbrush on the market. I know I've been telling this story, but I just think it's so crazy how I went to the dentist and she doesn't even know that I'm sponsored by Brush. And she literally said to me, "Hey, Claude, what toothbrush are you using? You're an amazing brusher. Is it electric?" And I said, "Ma'am, it's a Brush." And I was good at I didn't get in trouble at the dentist.
You got an A.
Which is always my fear, like that I'm going to get in trouble. So Brush is the electric toothbrush that you need in your life. It cleans your teeth at 31,000 movements a minute, whereas manual toothbrushes can tap out at just 300 movements. Many electric toothbrushes are barely a step up for manual, and there are some that do a good job, but they cost over $200. Brush delivers premier sonic wave technology without the markups that big electric toothbrushes tack on. The Brush kit, that's what Jackie and I have. It's we got the colors. That's like a pliny pink. I don't know if that's the official Brush color, but it's pliny pink. And it comes with a magnetic charging station, and it's really sleek. It looks great on your counter. The kit includes the toothbrush, 3 brush heads, a magnetic charging station, and a sleek travel case. And the brush itself has 6 cleaning modes for your teeth: the daily, white, gentle, gum, max, and tongue. The battery life lasts about 4 weeks, so I always leave mine on the charger. But if you're traveling, you don't need to bring the charger with you because the battery life will last you unless you're traveling for more than 4 weeks. If you want to get 15% off your Brush plus free express shipping December 16th through December 20th, you have to use the promo code TOAST at Brush.com. It's a guaranteed arrival before Christmas, so you can try it 90 days risk-free and get a 2-year warranty. But it's only when you go to Brush.com, promo code TOAST.
Love it. Okay.
I just remembered another scandal. Sorry to keep bringing them up, but like, remember when people were like so mad at us for making chili and using Goya beans? Like, that was insane. They thought it was like some major political statement from us when it was, unfortunately, like, there was only, we were upstate New York in literally the most remote town ever. And there was like 1 grocery store, 45 fucking minutes away, Walmart, and they had Goya. And I'm sorry, it wasn't what you thought it was. It was just beans.
It was just good beans.
And by the way, the chili was fabulous.
Yeah, the chili was fabulous.
Let me know if you want Ben's recipe, not Jackie's. Sorry.
Oh my God, speaking of recipes, I was really feeling what we had said on the show, and I went searching for some cooking content on my television, and last night I watched 3 episodes of Barefoot Contessa.
Hulu?
Hulu. No, not Hulu. Food Network app. And well, the episodes were from 2008, but like they're timeless, evergreen. They were so good. Like Jeffrey had the best Coco Van for their anniversary.
Coco Van.
And like I know who Ina Garten is, obviously, like, and I know from Heather's videos like what she's about.
Right.
But like I really never watched a whole episode, and she is so cute. Like
no, everything of the sort.
No, everything of the sort. And I'm learning so many tips and tricks.
Two things. One, I also heard from our audience that if you're looking for that premium, like homemade Food Network original type of shows, they play it on Saturday and Sunday mornings.
Yeah, that doesn't work for me. Like, I don't choose when I'm ready to watch right. this stuff.
It chooses you.
Yeah, and it's 2020. Like, I'm not, like, setting my alarm to watch a show.
And then second of all, I don't know if you made it a Fast Five story. You probably didn't. But speaking of Heather, did you see that her show got picked up by Peacock? Oh,
no, I saw, though.
I read the description. And first of all, it sounds so funny. Like, an actress, I think the premise is like a...
Her story.
She was like trying to become an actress in LA, and then her father passed away of cancer, and she like flew home and moved back home to live with her mom. And now it's like the crazy, you know. And it sounds, first of all, so good. And for, I feel like for as long as we've known Heather, like that's always what she's wanted to do, like a sitcom about her life. And I'm really happy for her, so I'm gonna watch it.
I'm gonna watch it. It sounds so good, and it's the called title? Good Grief.
Excellent. We're very happy for her.
Very happy. So, anyways, Barefoot Contessa, like I'm on a roll now.
And it's funny that whenever someone brings up Barefoot Contessa, people think of Heather.
Yeah. Okay, now I'm ready for the first story, because Erica Jane's husband, Tom Girardi, testified that he's broke.
There's so much drama. He's in the hospital, like...
Tom Girardi testified in an unspecified case this fall that he doesn't have nearly as much money as creditors think he possesses, the LA Times reported on Thursday. The outlet quoted him as saying that, quote, at one point I had about $80 million or $50 million in cash. That's all gone. I don't have any money.
Well, I feel like when you're in these sort of depositions, it's your job to make it look like you have the least amount of money as possible so that the creditors can take the least amount as possible. So I don't know if this necessarily means that they're broke, but I think what we've learned in the past month since Election Day when she announced that they were getting divorced is that things are not looking good for them financially.
No, things are. They're definitely like this is a big deal that they're in. They can't just like brush it off. I think that even if the divorce is a defense mechanism for this case, like there's a lot going on.
Right. And that's sad because I'm not ready for a poor Erica Jane. I'm just not.
No. And also, so Tom's lawyers claim that he suffered a serious illness in recent months that required hospitalization. They allege that this hospitalization was the mistake that caused some families to not be paid in full as part of a settlement. So that's also part of their defense. It's like he was in the hospital, so that's why people didn't get paid because he was sick.
Got it. Okay. Not an excuse, but sure.
Yeah, but I mean, it's court, so.
It's court. This is very sad. I'm just like, I knew that like... Erica's life is perfect, but of course no one's life is perfect. And of course, like, there's things, people said things about his business and their marriage, but I just like to, you know, live in my own bubble where it wasn't true and her life was just completely perfect. And now it's like undeniably, you know, imperfect.
Right. And I think that this story is so big and it keeps getting bigger that there's absolutely no way that they're not talking about it in Beverly Hills, which they're filming right now.
There's absolutely no way.
Right.
So, but there was a lot of talk about her being like demoted to friend of housewife a while ago. But I feel like if that even were the case, it is certainly not now. Yeah.
She's back up. She circled back.
Yeah. Yeah. Circled back by EOD.
So we'll keep you posted on the trial. But yeah. There's a lot of news there.
And I'm just really curious. I'm not really that interested in, like, the legalities of it all. I'm just now curious of, like, how does this affect my viewing of The Real Housewives? Is Erica poor? What happens to the plane, you know?
Yeah.
That's what I want to know.
Yep. Okay, next story. Pete Davidson is removing all of his tattoos.
Huh.
Nothing. Nothing lasts forever. Not even Pete Davidson's tattoos. The 27-year-old SNL star is in the process of removing all of his ink. He reportedly revealed at a Q&A last week for his 2020 film, The King of Staten Island.
He's still doing press for that movie. That was like the first quarantine movie, and it's still like number one on iTunes because literally nothing else came out.
Yeah, I didn't watch that one. I saw Big Time Adolescent. Terrible.
So it's the same movie.
I feel like I saw it.
Same exact movie.
A film.
Except one of them had Machine Gun Kelly. Which one?
Big Time Adolescent.
So it was obviously better because we stand MGK in this house.
Yeah, a film critic broke the news when he tweeted a screenshot from the event saying, just attended a virtual Q&A with the Judd Apatow and the cast of King of Staten Island. And here's a scoop. Pete Davidson is in the process of getting all of his tattoos removed.
I wonder why. They're so like his aesthetic.
I know. He even showed his hand, which he's already done. He said it takes 3 to 4 hours in the makeup chair to cover them.
Oh, that's why.
He figured it would be easier to, quote, get them burned off.
What roles is he doing that doesn't let him have...
I don't know.
On SNL, it's like the hair and makeup is not, because it's 3-minute sketches, it's not that involved that they would need to cover his tattoos if he was like you know, being a businessman and like had to wear a suit. They wouldn't do that. It's not that involved. And in his movie roles, he plays himself almost always, or a character loosely based off of his life.
Yeah. No, I don't know. Maybe it's just a personal decision.
Maybe he's now going to start going into more like serious roles.
Maybe. But I do feel like, I mean, if you love your if you want your tattoos, there are ways to obscure them for these roles.
But he has so many.
Yeah.
But do you like when you do that laser treatment, which sometimes on TikTok I see videos and oh my God, it looks so painful. Does it leave a scar?
I don't know. I don't know. Khloe Kardashian,
that was the first time I ever saw.
If it does scar, like I don't know how long, maybe the scar goes away.
Maybe, yeah. It like puffs up in like keloids, but maybe it goes away.
Yeah.
Crazy. I wonder why.
Crazy, yeah. Okay, this next story is very sad. Some more legal drama. Vanessa Bryan is claiming that her mom is trying to extort the family with a lawsuit.
I heard about this. Crazy.
Vanessa Bryan claims her mother is trying to extort her family with a lawsuit that she filed against the widow earlier this week, according to a report. Sophia Lane claims in her new suit that Kobe Bryant promised to take care of her indefinitely. But after his death in January, Vanessa has failed to make good on the commitment and has even ordered her to move out of the home that the basketball player let her live in, TMZ reported. Lane claimed in the suit that she was the couple's nanny for 18 years, working long hours without breaks or meals, including on holidays and weekends, all without pay, the outlet reported. Vanessa has called her mom's lawsuit frivolous, disgraceful, and unimaginably hurtful.
So this is Vanessa's mom?
Vanessa's mom is suing her for not getting paid from Kobe's death. I mean, I feel...
Zillow coven.
Yeah, no.
Zillow coven.
And what does that mean for those who don't speak Hebrew?
It's not respectful.
This is not respectful. I agree.
And it's, as we say in Yiddish, this is a shanda. Like, and this Vanessa is a private family matter.
Yeah, Vanessa feels the same way. Frivolous, disgraceful, and unimaginably hurtful. I can't even imagine how hurtful.
No, this is something that... It's a private family matter that should be handled as such in, you know, the private family quarters.
Yeah.
And, like... To not only make it so public is so hurtful, but then to sue, like, why is it all about money? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's terrible. I mean, justice for Vanessa Bryant. To be going through this after what she went through is so horrible. And to have it come from your mother, I mean.
So horrible.
That's sad. Very sad.
Very, very sad.
She's one of the people I'm, like, always thinking of. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I just hope she's okay. I feel like she has a lot of support around her.
But there are just some things that.
You don't do.
Yeah, no, but I was talking about Kobe and Gigi, like she has so much support around her, which
is helpful, but not ever going to bring them back.
Yeah.
And also, I can't believe that was this year. Like, that's one of those things, like, you know where you were when you heard about, like, 9/11, you know?
Yeah.
I remember where I was when I heard about Kobe Bryant.
Where were you?
I was in my bed, obviously, because that's always where I am. And I heard it, and there are always these, like, weird, you know, hoax, fake death stories, like, coming out. Like, I remember when we were kids, remember the Cheyenne from the MTV show? There was, like, a hoax that she died. Like, they always do this, and so at first you don't believe it, but then when it comes from TMZ, it's like, oh, no. And it takes, like, a day to fully process it. And I called Ben because he's, like, the biggest Kobe fan, and I thought I would be breaking the news to him because I'm like, he doesn't know anything. Like, he doesn't follow pop culture, like, I thought that I would have to, like, break the news to him, and he knew, and he was, like, in fucking denial, like, on the street, like, left work, he needed a minute, like, he was outside, like, literally having a panic attack.
Wow.
Crazy. Where were you?
I was also in bed.
We gotta
leave.
It was
a Sunday.
And it wasn't even quarantine, though.
It was a Sunday.
We had no excuse.
Yeah. Okay, well, next story is some really happy news. The Bachelorette Zach Clark reconnects with the bank teller who made the call that saved his life. Did you see the episode where he explained to Tayshia on his one-on-one? He talked about his struggles with addiction and how he, you know, hit his lowest point by writing fraudulent checks, and a teller at the bank recognized that, you know, this was not a kosher situation, mm-hmm. and called his dad. And so he went back to the bank and met with the angel, he calls her, that saved his life. He said, on August 28th, 2011, I walked into the PNC Bank in Camden, New Jersey, and I met my angel, Rhonda Jackson. Rhonda didn't know me, didn't care what I looked like, and didn't judge me. She just knew that I needed help as I tried to cash a forged check so I could get some quick money and keep getting high. Mm-hmm. Rather than call the cops, Rhonda called my dad, whose name was on the check as the account owner. 3 days prior, I had stolen
really
a handful
sweet.
Of checks. Yeah, and so he posted a picture to his Instagram of him and Rhonda.
Oh, my God, stop. I fucking love Zaxi. That is really, 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 really cute. And, that's so interesting that, like, I don't know. Oh, also, I finished the flight attendant. I want to talk about it. Mm-hmm. That's so interesting that he, like, remembers her, even though, like, she technically, like, turned him into, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
But he considers it, like, a blessing.
Yes, a major blessing.
That's a beautiful story.
He said that she remembered the day vividly, and we hugged like we had known each other forever. In a world that is filled seemingly with so much apathy, Rhonda Jackson taught me a valuable life lesson. Always treat people with love, always believe, and always do the right thing.
Oh, my God, I'm literally going to cry. This is really sweet.
I have chills. You never know whose life you might be saving. Thank you, Rhonda, for saving my life. There are no coincidences.
Oh, my God. I literally have chills. That's so sweet. I love this story. And now I love Zaxi even more.
I know. And I wonder if they would have reconnected if not for The Bachelor. Like, obviously, if he had posted this Instagram and hadn't been on The Bachelor, like,
no one would care.
No one would have seen it.
Yeah.
But I wonder if, like, she saw him on The Bachelor and
maybe
him tell his story. I just think this is such an amazing story. And yeah. it teaches a very valuable lesson. Like, treat people with love.
And just look out for others.
Look out for your neighbors.
Yeah. You know what? I feel like in this year, I don't have neighbors, but just, like, watching a lot of TV and, like, seeing what's going on in the world, I feel like this year has really also been the year of, like, your neighbors. I feel like those people who have neighbors really relied on their neighbors this year for, like, different things, you know?
Yeah. Well, I feel like for me, since getting a puppy, I spent a lot of time just, like, on the street.
In the building.
Yeah. And I've really come to know my neighbors. And there's such, like, a puppy community out there that I didn't even know. Like, now I know some of the other dogs in neighboring buildings and their owners. And, you know, everyone's always asking. Like, even if they see me, they're like, how's Bruno? And I'm like, oh, wow. Like, they would have just passed me by. Like, Bruno's really connecting me to my community. I'm not even, like, fucking
around.
No,
that,
like,
sounds awesome.
He really, really is. And now, like, I just have so many familiar faces. Like, there's
yes,
so many
by the
people.
Way, I came into Jackie's house and she literally had, like, this bag of, like, treats and, like, jackets. And I'm like, what is that? She's like, oh, there's another Cavalier in the building. And he grew out of his
harness
and gave it to Bruno.
So he gave it to Bruno. Or, like, sometimes I'll, like, take Bruno out in the morning. I'll see someone walking to work. And then when I take him out at night, like, I see the person coming
That's
home.
Crazy.
Yeah. There's, like, this one guy who I always see.
Maybe he leaves when it's time for the toast. Like, he's a toaster.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, that sounds so nice. I literally am the only person who lives in my entire building, in my entire block. And I've never seen another human being, but my doorman love Theo.
Oh my God, of course they do, because he's so fucking perfect.
Yeah, and so they're really like his uncles.
Oh.
Yeah, but Theo doesn't have any neighbors, and neither do I, and we like live in a sad place.
That's why
no other people.
You have to move to my building because the Cavalier community is like strong. And
how many Cavaliers are in your building now?
Now there are 3 Cavaliers in my building.
Wow.
And 4 when Theo moves in.
So funny. So I have an alert on Street Easy for your building because, like, if new apartments come up, I want to like be the first one. And this apartment came up, and I'm like, I don't know if it's for me. It was your old apartment.
I know. Zach showed it to me last night that it made it onto Street Easy. That's so funny.
That's funny.
Okay, are you ready for our 5th and final story?
Oh, and they listed it for less than what you were paying.
I mean,
does that bother you?
Sign of the times. No.
Oh, yeah.
I would have been shocked if they didn't. Like, yeah. What world are you living in?
Sign of the times.
Are you ready for our 5th and final story?
Yes, ma'am.
Because Carrie Underwood got the best gift for Christmas from her husband.
What?
Cows.
Wow, that is a good gift.
Carrie Underwood's husband, Mike Fisher, got her cows for Christmas. Quote, they make me so happy, she said. She said, he got me cows, which is what I wanted. They're my favorite animal. I love them. She doesn't plan on doing anything. She doesn't want them for any purpose, she said, just to love them.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to say something really crazy.
Okay.
I actually had this thought yesterday when I was cleaning out my fridge. And there was like this gallon of milk in the back that literally, I don't know why we have milk. Like, I don't really drink milk sometimes for my cereal. So I poured it out. It was like completely full and it felt so wasteful. And I just kind of had this moment where I'm like, I don't think I'm going to have milk anymore.
Why?
Because it's like really sad for the cows. It's like painful.
I'm not familiar with milk.
No, but
culture.
I've been.
But aren't cows made to be milked?
Yes, but like the way that they overdo it and like start them at young ages and like multiple times a day, it's like, it's really not good.
Okay, well,
I think if you like own a farm and you're not like pasteurizing your own milk and selling it to grocery stores and like you want some milk, sure, go milk your cow. But I think like the way it's like streamlined, like, and it's so crazy, like it's their whole, like they just get milked all the time and it's like really painful and I don't think it's done well. And I think I'm going to stop drinking milk because it's really easy for me to give up because I literally never drink it.
Okay.
But I'm just going to stop buying it.
Okay. But like, don't put the milk industry out of business.
Is half and half?
Don't put the farmers out of business. Half and half is half and half of 2 different kinds of milks is what I just learned. But why don't you just have almond milk because it's not dairy?
Sure.
Like it comes from almonds.
I think this might be my journey to veganism.
Okay.
I'm stopping drinking
milk.
And that
includes chicken.
Well, no. I'm going to be a chickatarian where I don't eat anything except for chicken. I can't. This is the thing.
No tacos.
It's either the chicken or me, because if I don't eat chicken, I'll die.
What about tacos?
With chicken. Ground chicken.
Okay. Okay, good luck.
I'm thinking about it.
I just feel like the farmers have had a rough year, too. Like, don't put the milk industry out of
business. No, I'm not. But if the farmers could just be nice to the cows, like, that would really mean a lot
to me. I'm sure they love the cows so much.
I love
the cows. Just like Carrie Underwood.
Yeah. Great segue.
But I also don't know that much about, like, milk culture.
Yeah, no, and the industry. I'm just saying, like, I've been seeing some really convincing, like, vegan propaganda.
Where? On TikTok?
Like, everywhere. Like, I just see it everywhere, and it's starting to get to me, you know?
Okay.
But I don't know if that's propaganda. Like, is it real? I don't know. Don't quote me on any of this. I just, like, I have to do my research. But they planted a seed in me.
They planted a seed. Sometimes it's important. A seed can blossom.
Can grow. Thank you so much for those Fast Five stories, Jackie. They were...
fucking random.
Yeah, they were interesting. And now we're going to do our Southern recap.
Our
Southern Charm recap, brought to you by Liquid IV. Cooler weather makes it easy to miss signs of dehydration, like overheating and perspiration, which means it's even more important to keep your body properly hydrated. And with one stick of Liquid IV and 16 ounces of water, you get 2 to 3 times the amount of hydration as plain water. Flu season often lines up with our holiday plans, but Liquid IV can help support your immune system with increased hydration and essential vitamins. Given the pandemic and given the fact that it's the winter and sometimes it's harder to realize that you might be dehydrated, it's never been a better time to try Liquid IV. First of all, I cannot drink water. Like, it's just like I have this like, it's stickated maniosis. It's a really serious disease. And so I really just can't drink water plain. So I'm always like trying different things to put in my water. And Liquid IV tastes so good. And then it literally makes like the one bottle that you're drinking basically like three in terms of hydration. Mm-hmm. So it's really encouraged if you have a hard time drinking water, or if you just really want to be hydrated. Liquid IV's best-selling hydration multiplier, which is what I use, now has 3 flavors, guava, watermelon, and apple pie. One serving of Liquid IV provides the same hydration as drinking 2 to 3 bottles of water alone. It contains 5 essential vitamins, more vitamin C than an orange, and as much potassium as a banana. They're way healthier than sugary sports drinks, and they contain no artificial flavors, preservatives, and they have less sugar than an apple. They're totally made with clean ingredients. They are non-GMO, vegan, free of gluten, dairy, and soy. Thank God they're vegan. I can still have them. they're so effective because of their cellular transport technology, and they're on a mission to change the world. Their company has donated over 6.7 million servings globally, and in response to COVID-19, their products are being donated to hospitals, first responders, food banks, veterans, active U.S. military, and over 3 million servings in total have been donated so far. So you can know that your purchase is going a long way, because we are taking care of the people in our country who need it the most. Liquid IV is available nationwide at Walmart in the beverage section, or you can get 25% off when you go to liquidiv.com and use the promo code TOAST at checkout. Again, that's 25% off anything you order when you use the promo code TOAST at liquidiv.com. Get better hydration today at liquidiv.com, promo code TOAST.
Love it. Okay.
Oh, and before we wrap up, this is probably the last time in 2020 I can promote my book, and I feel like we should make it a good one.
Okay.
You know what? Why don't you say something nice about the book, Jackie? I feel like you're hurting her feelings. You've never said anything nice about her.
Really? Read the back.
No, I'm kidding. You say so many nice things.
Should I read my...
Sure.
This is how I felt about Claudia's book. Much like the author herself, this book is hysterical and smart, but might also make you cry. Since the day she was born, I have been Claudia's number one fan, and 26 years later, that has not changed.
Really aging me.
The admiration and pride I have for her has only intensified, and upon reading her story, you will feel similarly.
Wow, that was really beautifully done. Like, and you really came up with that really quickly when I asked you for it. Like, it's like, so you've been waiting your whole life to say it, you know?
Yeah, no, it just like, it fell out of me. I
it fell out of you.
I write how I feel.
You're such a beautiful writer, because that's really profoundly written. So thank you for doing that, by the way.
Yeah. Thanks.
I mean, I mean,
you're really the writer girl.
Very true. Girl with No Job is my book. It's called Girl with No Job, The Crazy Beautiful Life of an Instagram Thirst Monster. And I did a little chapter recap on my Instagram last week. I've started to do like weekly reveals. This week I am going to reveal the back, the rest of the blurbs. But if you missed the chapter recap, allow me to recap for you. Chapter one, my first period. No, I'm kidding. That's a joke from Friends. Chapter one is, you know, I really should memorize this. Let me see if I can do it all. Chapter one is...
Introduction.
Well, there's the introduction, and then chapter one. Wow, I'm really like calling myself out. Chapter one.
Wouldn't it be starting from the beginning?
Yeah, I want to say it's my childhood. A Star is Born. Yeah. Chapter two is college. You know what? Just
but it's like nobody asked.
No, I know, but it's like, is it crazy not to know like your
I don't think so. But me like, neither. You're putting yourself on the spot.
No, I know. And I'm like really exposing myself. So like, let me just get my,
Well, yeah, now you have to find it. But I just want.
Now everyone's going to be like, she didn't write her own book. She doesn't know the chapter.
That's next.
That's also a conspiracy about me, but that's okay. Like people have said way worse things about me, but I did write my own book if you care. And it's really good.
She did. You can literally hear your voice in it.
Yeah, 100%.
Like no one else could have written it.
I'm just like having a hard time finding this doc. I'm like really out here exposing myself, but I'm gonna find it. Just give me a second. I have it. Oh, will you just forward it to me, please? Thank you. Just give me a minute, everyone. Just talk okay. amongst yourselves.
Take your time.
Yeah, so what's new with you?
There's always gonna be another mountain. I'm always gonna wanna make it move. Mm. Always gonna be an uphill battle. Mm. Sometimes you're gonna have to lose.
Keep going.
Ain't about how fast I get there. Ain't about what's waiting on the other side.
Oh, oh.
It's the climb.
Perfect timing.
I think that sounded really good.
That was actually pretty on key.
Thank you.
All right, here are the chapters for those wondering what the book may be about. First is introduction. I didn't give the chapter titles. Maybe this will be like a nice reveal. Chapter title one is Born Thirsty. That's all about my childhood.
That's funny.
Things, you know, you might think like, what was Claudia like when she was growing up? But Jackie can attest that like, I actually have a pretty embarrassing like childhood because I was such a little nut job. And there's a lot in there that you definitely don't know about me. A lot of my friends, when I sent it to them, they're like, I had no idea what was going on at home. Like,
that's so funny. Born Thirsty. She really needed some milk.
Stop. Chapter two, A Career is Born. This is when I started my career at my time at NYU. Just a lot about, you know, being a college gal and then it growing and like having to be like an influencer at NYU, which was really so challenging and really embarrassing at points. Third was Girl with No Full-Time Job, which is when I graduated college and unlike my peers, decided to not get a job and work on influencing full-time, which is not what it was today. And it was really embarrassing.
It sounds like this is a book of embarrassments.
Girl with No Embarrassments. Chapter four, In Search of a Nice Jewish Boy with No Job. This is all about how I met Ben, my very short-lived dating life before Ben, my, you know, life being married to Ben, and then, you know, the formative experiences that happened to me as a child as it pertains to men that really shaped the woman I am today. Chapter five is Chubby, Stubby, and Fabulous, which is all about my journey with body image. I don't know if you guys know this. Jackie and I did attend a fat camp growing up, and I do, you'll read about it in the book, Blame It for All My Problems. And that's just a chapter on body image and what it's like to be fat and famous. That should have been the chapter of the title. It's so much better, fat and famous. Chapter six is Will All the Real Stans Please Stand Up? This is my journey into being obsessed with pop culture and like how I got here. Like, why am I so obsessed with like the logistics of being a celebrity? Chapter seven is When the Fan Becomes Famous. So this is like, Jackie and I have really, it was so hard not to talk for you in the book. Like, I'm talking for you right now. Chapter seven is like,
it's just because I'm here.
The dynamic of like being so obsessed with pop culture that like you actually become like, well
famous
known,
for being a fan.
Famous for being a fan. And then you get your own fans and like, what's that dynamic like? And like, is it kind of toxic? Chapter eight is You're Either Going to Love Me or Hate Me, in the words of Danielle Staub. And this is all about cancel culture. This is probably the chapter you're going to like open up the book and skip to. It's page 173 if you're looking for it. And it has all the questions you want to answer. Like, I know everyone wants to know like what happened on the day that you were canceled. This is I give you a play-by-play of the actual day. Do you talk to your mom? It's all in there. So buy the book if you care. Page 173. Chapter nine, From Canceled to Comedy. This is picking up the shambles of my life and trying to start my career, and then just deciding to do comedy and how I started that, and then ended up at the Beacon Theater. And then chapter 10 is Oppositional and Defiant, the conclusion, which will make you cry.
Yeah,
that's my story.
The thesis, where she's landed on all of these things.
What I've learned.
Yeah.
So that's the book. Again, girlwithnojob.com/book is the link. Check it out. All the places that you can purchase the ebook, the audiobook, and the print version are all there. You can support local bookstores by using the bookshop link, or you can buy from Amazon or Barnes & Noble. Check it out. I would appreciate the support. Thanks.
I feel like that was the best it ever went in terms of shelling.
I'm just telling people what they want to know. Like,
yeah.
I know what you're looking in the book, and I put it in there because I want to sell books.
Yeah.
I put it there. Check it out.
Great.
Okay, Southern Charm.
Yeah.
Kind of boring.
Oh, you know what? I thought it was boring, sure, but like when it was over, I was kind of like sad. I was like, oh, I actually could have watched more of that.
Okay.
Which is weird.
Again, I just continually like refuse to just get past like the weirdness that is Patricia Altschul
hosting
a bunch of 35-year-old men in her backyard.
And it's like she couldn't have her boys' dinner because of COVID. And it's like the minute she's allowed to have people over,
that's
she's
the first
like,
thing
boys'
she does.
Dinner. And it's so weird. And then she's also like, stay away from me. But it's like, you invited all these people over to your house. If you don't want them near you, don't invite them over. Like, it is such a weird dynamic. And then I was really like trying to be, you know, give her the benefit of the doubt and be like, okay, maybe they just need a place to film and they need this sort of party. But then like, why not invite the girls?
Yeah.
It's so weird. Her presence on the show is just becoming weirder and weirder. And I thought that like Austin had the greatest read of all time when he was like, wow, has Patricia never been in love? Has it always just always been about money? And I was just like,
and that was a fair assessment.
Is so shady
because she's so old school.
No, because she's always advocating for Madison not to follow her heart, but to like follow the money.
And I think I agree, like Patricia's presence on the show is getting weirder and weirder. And it felt really weird when Leva called her, because how does Leva even know her?
Yeah.
And it's only because of the show. And it's like, you got to come kiss the ring.
Yeah.
It just felt so weird. And I never really understood or like appreciated Patricia's presence on the show. And don't get me wrong, I do think Patricia's life is very interesting. And I don't dislike seeing her with Michael and her butler and the inside of her house. It's all very interesting.
It's a Patricia show, but to have her as like the puppet master for all of these young people, it's and have so her weird. So involved in their lives and so mean, it never ceases to like make me be like, what is she doing here?
Yeah, and especially when over the years, like her involvement has resulted in like people's like lives being really, like Catherine, like really being affected.
Yeah.
And now let's talk about the Catherine of it all. Her and Danny, just like their friendship just not being it. And part of me, I feel torn because I've always felt like their relationship was really weird. Like Danny was always this doormat for Catherine and like always there for her unapologetically. And it's like, we all knew that. Like, how are you just figuring it out that your relationship is toxic?
Yeah. And so it's like, okay, I'm glad you're figuring it out. And that
you can understand why Catherine's confused.
Yes. That like, what's changed?
No, this is kind of like Bethany and Carol. Where it was like, this was the friendship, and like then you started questioning it, and it's like, just stop. It was good when it was. That's how it was, you know?
Yeah. No, I'm happy for Danny that she's standing up for herself.
Me too.
Like, we all knew what it was.
I thought it was like weird, like how much of a doormat you were for the last 5 years.
Yeah, but like also, why can't you try just like not being a doormat? That doesn't mean that you don't have to be friends with someone, but like maybe like standing up for yourself and like not taking shit instead of just like writing off the friendship completely.
Right. And you know, before the episode, they played last week's episode, like Secrets Revealed, where they put those incredibly stupid, irrelevant fun facts in a box on the left. And when they were talking about Danny, it said the dumbest thing. It was like, she really was mad that Catherine didn't reach out to her during the whole monkey emoji thing. Because she thought it meant that, like, you know, Danny's opinion on racism, like, didn't matter. It was just so stupid. And it's like, you can be mad at Catherine. Danny has a lot of things she can be mad at Catherine about. Like, their friendship really is unfair. But I'm not understanding, like, this hill you're dying on of, like, Catherine not reaching out to you. For as long as we've known Catherine, it's like, she never shows up. She never answers her phone. Like, that's who she is. She disappears for days at a time. So I don't think she was necessarily, like, not reaching out to you. But she only got mad when she found out that Catherine reached out to Leva.
Yeah.
Whereas like Leva is obviously like this really smart person who gave Catherine really good advice.
Yeah.
So I don't know why she's like so mad about her reaching out to Leva. Danny has a lot she could be mad at her for, but I don't know why this is the thing that like got her to this place.
Yeah, I feel that. I don't see it either. Maybe next week they have another conversation in what looks to be a fabulous beach party.
Yes.
So maybe we'll get more clarity around that. I'm actually really excited for that episode. And then it looks like Austin and Leva are
go
fighting.
At it on a boat. Yeah.
Which is crazy.
Yeah. I felt bad for Austin at the end of the episode because he just loves Madison so much. And like, aside from like being, you know, like a 11-year-old, he's just never really done anything like bad.
No, they're just a mismatch. And I think what Patricia said, which is what nobody focuses on, but really seems to be like the heart of the matter, is that he's not ready to be a stepfather.
Yes.
You know, and so we could talk about the fact, like everyone always makes it about like, he's not there in his business and
right.
he's not mature enough. But at the end of the day, all of those things come back to the fact that if he wants to be with Madison, he needs to be a parental figure.
Yeah.
And he's not ready to be that person. And so
that's true.
I think that more needs to be made of that, because making it about the other things just makes Austin feel like a piece of shit. And like,
and
when
shallow.
He has to say in his confessionals, like, I know I'm good enough for Madison. It's like, yeah, why is everyone just telling him straight up, like, you're not good enough for her. You're never gonna be.
Yeah.
She needs to do better. When it's like, he seems like actually a really decent person.
I agree.
Maybe he parties too much, and maybe he lets like the show, he gets carried away
yes.
with the fame and the celebrity. And I think it's really hard not to,
mm-hmm.
especially like in a town like Charleston
so small.
That's small. And you know, it is, they're always, it's just too easy.
It is what it is, yeah.
I think that everyone is super hard on him when he's, when he has like a good heart.
I agree. And as what I said last week of like being obsessed with Madison and Pringle, I'm no longer there. Something about Pringle starting to bother me.
Like when he was like hitting on the bartender and then also like and talk to the guys like in front of her face like about how she's like a smoke show.
Yeah.
I just thought that
if you use the word smoke show, it's going to be a no for me.
The whole thing was like disrespectful, and it's like, oh, so you're just like obsessed with any pretty girl that you see. It's not Madison. It's just like her looks.
I didn't pick up last week, or they didn't show the footage where he complimented her thighs.
I didn't pick it up either.
I thought he said eyes. And I think there's something deeply problematic, and I can't really get into it, but there's something deeply problematic about complimenting a woman's size. I'm sorry. Like, it's weird. And he's just starting to look so dirty. Like, take a shower. I'm like, over him.
Yeah. I don't ship him and Madison.
No, me neither.
Even if she does.
Madison needs a businessman beau. It always comes back to that.
It always comes back to it.
We'll find you
one. Because she's the businessman girl. Business girl beau. I've got to work on that one.
She's a businesswoman special.
Yes, yes.
There you go. Oh my God, that's so funny. By the way, I have been making so many cameos. Like, literally, it's the most fun thing ever. And it's just so interesting, like, what people gravitate to in terms of toasty lingo. And everyone just asked for me to call, like, their best friend or their girlfriend beautiful, stunning, and smart.
Oh, that's so nice. You guys are nice friends.
It's really sweet. So book me on Cameo. Thanks.
Other than that, I thought it was a good episode, and I was just, like, so weirded out that it all revolved around this party at Patricia's that she seemed to, like, not want to have, but, like, no one asked you to have it, and why not invite the girls?
No, it was weird. She's, and it was raining.
Always keeping the genders separate. It's weird. It's like,
she's just so old school, and you were saying last week how Southern Charm has always been, like, this boys' club, and the puppeteer of Southern Charm is Patricia. She's the one who's made it this,
like,
boys' club.
She, like, enforces these traditional, sort of, like, traditional gender roles, and I think she's not a good influence.
I completely agree.
Like, I'm every week I just feel like that's my takeaway.
Yeah, it's the Patricia is weird show.
Yeah, and I think it's because, well, I think there's a number of reasons why she has such a big influence on the show, but I think one, like, because Whitney's an executive producer,
yeah,
and I think he's taken himself out of the show because I think, like, when he put himself in it, people didn't like him, and I don't think he could take that.
Yeah.
So he was like, I'm gonna remove myself, and, like, mom, people love you.
Stay.
Be a big part of the show, and also because of the house and, like, the Michael of it all, and it's also fabulous.
They need that.
I don't know. I think they're two separate shows.
On the count of three, say your favorite Southern Charm cast member. Okay.
Oh wait, hold on. Oh, I mean, I have so many, but just okay.
Three. Ready?
Okay.
3, 2, 1. Craig.
Yeah.
I fucking love him.
Yeah,
and he's just out here giving everyone really good advice.
I thought that the conversation he had with Madison was, like, a really nice, and not, like, it was a nice thing to do. Obviously, if Austin, like, saw it, he would be upset, but it was in Austin's best interest, and I think that Craig is a good person.
I agree.
He is a good, I don't think he is.
I agree. He's a nice boy.
Yeah, I've never seen him, like, be intentionally mean to
me
someone.
Neither. And he's been, like, railed on and made fun of more than anyone. Like, even the fact that Shep named his dog Good Boy Craig, which is so rude. And then Shep walks around his house in a t-shirt that says Craig is my lawyer. And, like, he just got so much shit for so long about the pillows and then the bar exam. And, like, now I just feel like he's in a good place. Like, did you see on, I guess they did it last week too, but I didn't see. But on Bravo, if you're watching on cable, on the left side, they had a little QR code that popped up. And it's like, you swipe this QR code to buy Craig's pillows. So his pillows are actually, like, legit. They're selling them on Shop by Bravo. He's on HSN. Like, Sewing Down South, he came on our show. And he has, like, a huge partner, that guy, the Thomasville company, which is, like, a Southern merch company. Like, he's doing really well.
He is doing really well.
And I just didn't see that for him.
Yeah. No, I'm proud of him. And I love to see it. And I feel like even though the guys are still, like, always, you know, taunting him, like, there's less to taunt him about,
and it doesn't get to him anymore. He's like secure in himself.
Yeah, but I do still think Shep naming his dog Craig is, like, so
mean.
Rude.
Yeah, so mean. That's all we got for you guys. Anything you want to say before we wrap up the last show of the year?
Thank you so much for, if you've made it to the end of this episode, thank you for everything. We love you guys. We love doing the toast.
We hope that it has brought you joy
in
a really, really hard year.
Yeah. And when you guys message us and, like, tell us what it's meant to you, you know, whether it's a commute or you're working on the front lines, and just the toast is a little companionship every day. Like, that's why we do what we do.
Yeah.
And it makes all all the other stuff that comes along with it worth it, honestly.
No, 100%.
To make one person's day a little easier, a little brighter, a little filled with laughter, little steamy vibes. Yeah. Like, that's all we're trying
to
do
here. That's the point here.
And I think it's emanate those vibes and make your days feel like a little more comforted.
And that's so important to remember. Like, not, you know, we live in a really difficult world, especially this year with so much going on. And, you know, not everything is that serious. Like, you and I wake up every day with the just one goal of, like, making people smile. I know that a lot of people save the podcast, like, for their commute or for whatever. And that means a lot to us. And I think the fact that this is, the toast has become so ingrained in people's routine, and when we're not here, like, people miss it. Like, that means so much to us, and that's why we do it. And we really hope that this year has been, you know, as easy as it could have been for everyone, and that the toast was helpful in alleviating some of the pains of 2020. And hopefully when we see you guys on January 4th.
Yeah, I think so.
2021, like, it's a brand new world. New world, who dis?
No, you're setting too high expectations.
No, I'm not.
No, you are.
New world, who dis?
We're going into 2021 with optimism. And we're excited to see you all there. And if you are feeling RDH that this is the last show of the year, there is new content on patreon.com/themorningtoast. And we'll be putting out new episodes weekdays next week so that to fill that 10:30 a.m. void
gap,
you can head over to patreon.com/themorningtoast.
And when you sign up, you get access to our entire catalog. So that's like over 200 episodes. So there's really a lot of content for you during our little break. But yeah. I'm hesitant to wrap up. Is there anything we didn't say? I really want to express the gratitude, Jackie, and I feel for everyone who tunes into this show. Like, it really makes our day, and I hope it makes your day.
Yeah, and to everyone who works on our show and all of our partners and
at Audio Boom, everyone, we love you. Thank you for supporting the toast, even when it wasn't easy.
Yeah. And all of our TNN shows, always you can head over there if you're looking for some more content, too. We just love everyone that we work with. We love everyone who listens to the show, and we love each other. Thanks, Claude, for another great year.
Oh, my God, I love you. Are you going to touch me?
Sure.
Oh, the little...
Ow.
Oh, God, sorry. I got a little rough, and I dropped my Chewy Bar wrapper. I think it's time to wrap up.
Okay.
Love you guys so much. Thank you again for being toasters. I hope you've enjoyed this wonderful year of shows. I think we did about, like, 230 shows.
More. I think it's, like, more 260 plus, like, 5 Patreons at 12. That's, like, 70...
Two? No, so about 300 episodes.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's fucking scary. We should stop talking.
No, and I can't believe we haven't run out of shit to talk about yet. That day is coming. Don't worry.
No, but it really doesn't, because, like,
the world turns.
The world keeps turning, and then there's just new stuff.
We love you guys.
Then we pick up a new hobby, and there's new stuff, you know?
Yeah, I'm definitely going to take up knitting again. Thank you guys so much for listening to The Morning Toast, the Millennial Morning Show, where we deliver the fast 5 stories that you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching us on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as a podcast anywhere podcasts can be found. So that's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places. So wherever you listen to podcasts, find us The Morning Toast and leave a 5-star review about how beautiful, stunning, and smart we are. We hope you have an amazing, amazing holiday season. Please stay safe. Merry Christmas to you and your families. Take some time off. It's been a hard year. And just enjoy and relax. We love you.
Love you. Bye.